Welcome you to today's deep dive. When you see someone sleeping on a city sidewalk, it is incredibly easy to view it like bad weather, right? Like just a tragic but inevitable fact of modern life.
Right. Yeah. It feels permanent.
But our stack of sources today tells a completely different story. We are exploring the historical, religious, and economic data behind housing loss. And our mission here is to dismantle the myths about why people lose their homes.
Because it turns out, the way a society handles its unhoused population isn't some force of nature. It's a mechanism. And we can track the origins of that mechanism all the way back to ancient Mesopotamia.
Wait, Mesopotamia?
Exactly. When the first major cities formed there, they inevitably created debt. So to prevent massive populations from falling into permanent ruin, kings would issue clean slate decrees.
Like just canceling debts entirely?
Yep. Literally wiping the slate clean to keep the social structure from collapsing. It was active management. They saw extreme poverty as a math problem to be solved, you know, not a permanent fixture.
Okay, let's unpack this. If early civilizations viewed poverty as a systemic mathematical issue, how did we shift to viewing it as this massive individual moral failure?
Well, the sources trace that pivot heavily to 17th century England. Specifically, the 1601 Elizabethan Poor Laws.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that legislation basically built a categorization system for survival. It formally split people into the deserving poor, like the elderly or disabled.
Right.
Like undeserving poor, meaning anyone able-bodied who is currently without work.
It's like a cruel VIP bouncer at a club, just deciding who is worthy of survival based on physical capability.
That is exactly what it was. And what's fascinating is how that framework was later backfilled by religious interpretations to justify the system. People love to quote Matthew 26.11, you know, the poor you will always have with you.
I mean, I have heard that quoted countless times as definitive proof that poverty is unsolvable.
It is frequently presented as a prophecy. But biblical scholars in our research clarify the actual mechanics there. Jesus is directly referencing Deuteronomy 15, which is all about the Jubilee.
Which is descended from those Mesopotamian clean slate decrees.
Precisely. It was a mandate to cancel debts every 7 years. So in context, he isn't predicting eternal poverty. He is issuing a critique.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he is pointing out that poverty only exists because the leaders failed to enact the economic debt forgiveness system they were supposed to.
So he was calling them out. But that 1601 framework of the undeserving poor, it clearly didn't stay in the 17th century. You can see that exact logic mirrored in modern polling data.
You really can.
The sources show over 50% of Americans believe homelessness is primarily driven by individual behaviors, specifically addiction or mental illness.
But the empirical data we reviewed paints a starkly different picture. According to the numbers, 60 to 70% of the unhoused population have neither a severe mental health condition nor a substance use disorder.
Wait, I have to push back on that.
Yeah.
When these sources say 60 to 70% don't have severe addiction issues, how are they defining severe? Because, I mean, anyone walking through a major downtown area sees visible distress. Are eyes lying to us?
It's a localized visibility issue. The subset of the population experiencing severe public distress is highly visible, and that skews perception. But the broader data captures the hidden majority.
The economic driver.
Right. Up to 60% of people experiencing homelessness are currently employed, but their local housing costs just completely outpace their wages. Add to that, a third of the population cites sudden medical debt as the catalyst.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Looking at systemic changes, the research highlights a massive pivot in federal safety nets. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development had its budget slashed from $29 billion in 1976 to just $17 billion by 1990.
It's a huge drop. And regarding the visible addiction you mentioned earlier, the chronology in the data is super revealing. 42% of regular drug users in the homeless community report their substance use started after they lost their housing.
Right. So the psychological stress and physical trauma of living on the street is the catalyst.
Exactly. It's not the original cause of the housing loss.
It's treating a symptom rather than the disease. So if we are looking at the root cause as a gap between wages and housing costs, the logical next step is to examine what happens when a country alters that equation.
Yeah, and the data highlights Finland as the primary case study here. Since 1987, they have achieved a 75% reduction in homelessness.
75%, that is massive.
They shifted to a housing-first model. Mechanistically, this means providing permanent housing unconditionally. The traditional model requires a person to, like, prove they are sober or employed before receiving a home. Finland inverted that.
So housing is provided as the baseline.
Right. The sources note this satisfies two distinct philosophies. Rawlsian justice, which argues society should protect its least advantaged members, and strict utilitarianism.
So what does this all mean? The utilitarian angle is entirely mathematical, right? Like preventative medicine. Providing a home unconditionally is like giving a vaccine. It prevents far more expensive societal costs down the line.
Spot on. It drastically reduces compounding costs from emergency room visits and continuous policing. They are essentially treating housing like public infrastructure.
Like roads or water systems.
Exactly. You don't ask someone to prove they are sober before letting them use the sidewalk. The sidewalk is just the baseline infrastructure required to function. And that is precisely why the long-term financial data shows a net savings for the state.
It completely reorients the way you view the street. Our sources consistently show that extreme poverty isn't a natural law, it is a structural output.
Yeah, when a society separates the basic provision of shelter from historical judgments about who is deserving, the data shows the problem is largely solvable.
We really must decouple human rights from moral judgments of worthiness, which leaves you with a much larger question to consider.
Absolutely.
If a crisis as seemingly entrenched as homelessness is actually just a structural policy choice we've accepted, what other inevitable tragedies in our society are simply waiting for us to choose differently?